Hello and welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name is Mark Paul, my co-host Justin Baker joining me as usual. Justin, how are you this evening?
Mark, I am doing I'm terrible. Let's just put it that way.
Terrible.
I'm sure last night, the Red Wings.
I mean, John Tortorella eliminated you from the playoffs. How do you feel about that?
He did. Yeah, absolutely he did. Yeah, I feel like John Cooper's Tampa Bay Lightning when he was in Columbus there. I mean, oof.
No bet. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was a matter of like maybe 2.5 minutes, I think, of a difference. So I could see how maybe that doesn't, I don't know. It's weird. It was weird. It's a weird thing now to pull back and go, the Red Wings didn't make the playoffs because Tortorella pulled the goalie and they got scored on within 10 seconds of pulling the goalie. I don't even know if they shot the puck in, pulled their goalie, shot the puck in and lost possession immediately. And Oshie scored.
Yeah,
it was so anticlimactic. Especially with Perron scoring that goal with 3 seconds left.
Dude, I think so. Here's the other thing, too. I wasn't watching the Flyers game. I was just following it on my phone on the NHL.com is like that they were live updating. And at one point, they showed the empty net, but they had 9 skaters, like little circles with the numbers on the ice for Philly. I'm like, how is that even possible? But they have 9 skaters right now. Yeah, but I mean, other than that, I'm fantastic, Mark. How are you?
That's good. My Leafs are headed to the playoffs for the, I believe, the same amount of time that the Red Wings have missed the playoffs, the Leafs have made the playoffs. Because the last time the Wings made it was 2016, right?
It's been 8 years.
And the last time the Leafs missed the playoffs was 2016. We can't seem to align.
Maybe next year.
At least one of us gets to have fun. Although what is funny is that the Red Wings have not made the playoffs since we started this show.
I didn't even think about that.
So when they do, it is going to be a great celebration. It'll be great. Oh. But yeah, that, I mean, just the fact that there was so much drama in that Red Wings game, which to be fair, their tying goal should never have happened because it wasn't an icing. Yeah, 100% wasn't an icing. But hey, you only good on Gostis Barrett. His feet are going. It's not moving. I got to think that ref was just like, whatever. Just let's, if they can score here, then cool.
He didn't care.
Yeah. And it was a dramatic little moment there. They scored. I actually had both games on at the same time. And they scored. And I was like, no way. This is amazing. And then all of a sudden, I see the Flyers pull their goalie. And I go, what are, oh my gosh, nobody told them. Nobody told them they're done. But you know what? I wonder, even if he knew, maybe Torts pulls the goalie anyways.
Oh, yeah. He absolutely would have.
I don't think he really cared.
Yeah.
He didn't care about the Red Wings.
Exactly. You're only thinking about the Flyers at that point. So we can get in.
But Derek Malone should jump the bench next year to hop in there with Torts. Or maybe charge the locker room and pull a Torts something. Something, maybe. Just, I mean, to be honest, just show me something here from Malone. Give me a reason to believe in you. Because at this point, I see a very lackluster coach who it doesn't seem to have a whole lot of passion from, and not saying that he doesn't, but just the outside viewpoint of him is kind of this, he's a ho-hum coach and he just out there doing his thing. And it just, you want to see somebody in that moment care deeply outwardly. I know he cares inwardly, but I want to see it. And I don't care if that's the kind of guy he is or not. You got to pick your spots as a coach and show you give a damn at some point.
Yeah. I wonder if he's going to be bad. I mean, I know Yzerman's typically a patient GM, and yes, he probably will. But, you know, you often wonder, Yzerman gives out a contract to Justin Hall for 3 years and Lalonde never played him. Like, how aligned were these two guys, or were they just butting heads? I don't know. But if they're not aligned, I can tell you what, Lalonde will be gone before the playoffs are over.
Yeah, I know there was a little bit of, I think, a little frustration in how much Alex Lyon was played. And I think there was some differences of opinion. I don't know. To me, it looks bad on Yzerman if he fires him already after 2 seasons. I mean,
I agree with you.
In your guy is supposed to be your guy. And now you're figuring out that you don't agree with him on very much. So to me, I think you got to go back to the drawing board and say, look, let's get on the same page. Well, let's get a better goal. Or Huso might be back, but we got to figure out maybe a little bit better of a goalie tandem here.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can trust Huso or not. I mean, just unless he can prove to me that he's can stay healthy for any length of time, he's nothing more than a good backup.
Yeah, that's the concern, right? I mean, obviously, I think it was what their total goals against was about 5 goals less than the year before. So they didn't really improve in that area. And you went out and get guys like Jeff Petrie, Justin Hall. And you think that maybe a healthy Huso would help with that maybe, but I don't know. I don't know if he's enough.
Yeah, if you don't play the Justin Hall that you go and acquire, healthy scratch punch. I mean, that's not necessarily always on the coach. I mean, if he sees something and he goes, I can't play this guy over the other guys who earned it, that's fair, but got to be frustrating to go, I mean, I tried to give you pieces and you won't even play them. That would be frustrating as well. All right, let's just take a moment here because tonight, it is April 17th at about 5:30, and in just a few hours, the Arizona Coyotes will face off in Arizona one final time before they move on to Utah, which is, it's going to happen. They're going to announce it, I think, tomorrow or maybe Friday, but it's going to be an emotional night, I think, for a lot of people, for a lot of players, staff. Who would have thought that we definitely thought that this could happen, but it is crazy when it actually happens, right? Like we've seen this a few times in our adult life where a team actually goes and moves.
I mean, we've seen Atlanta go. We've seen Winnipeg get another team. And
I mean, really, that's it. As far as our adult life goes, Atlanta, I mean, I know it was, I think I was 10 years old when Winnipeg went to Phoenix in the beginning. Mm. And other than that, I have no memory of the Minnesota to Dallas. I think that was 93, right? 93. So I was too young. I was only 7. It didn't matter to me. A 7-year-old living in Toronto didn't matter. But yeah, so that means that even as a 10-year-old, that's 3 times that a team has moved, and it's been the same one.
Yeah.
So one of those teams has been involved. Winnipeg's been involved twice, and you know, now Arizona involved twice. Yeah. Yeah. What are your thoughts on tonight?
Well, the problem is there's a couple of ownership changes. And it seems like every time we've had that, we're thinking, okay, cool, Arizona's gone. But overall, tonight for me, with the Yotes finally moving, I'm just like, it's about damn time. That's really my opinion. I'm going to tip my cap to them. I got to hand it to Bettman for trying to stick it out. He's been very adamant about making it work in the desert. And
they're coming back.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're coming back. Hopefully they can have that arena. They can come back and actually be everything that I think that the NHL wants them to be. But what I'm curious about, and I know the players are obviously going to have to move, but like when you bring a new team in, would Phoenix get all their players back again? Can you just say, hey, give us back our guys? I mean, I know that's not going to happen.
No, they'll be an expansion team.
Yep. No, absolutely. I understand. So now do they have to pay that $1 billion fee, right? And can they even afford to pay something like that?
Yeah. And here's the beauty, I guess, of the situation for Alex Morello and the ownership is that it's $1 billion that they'll have to pay. But by that time, I think there's going to be at least another expansion team at the same time. Like it's likely going to be like a Houston or mm-hmm. another shot at Atlanta. And that team's probably going to be paying $1.5 billion. Maybe two. Like who knows what the price will be at that point. And he's going to be locked into that one. So that's a good situation for him.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, too. It wouldn't shock me if we get, I mean, in the next 10 years, get up to 36 teams. Because if you really think about it from a playoff format, right, 17 and 17 on each side, you don't have equal divisions, equal number of teams in each division. So, I mean, I don't know.
Baseball did it for a little while where there was the one division with the extra team. But, yeah, I mean, how many teams can you have? I guess it's – you think about it and you go, there's football. Football has 32 teams, but also football has 80 people on their roster. That doesn't even include practice guys.
Right.
I mean, that's thousands of players, 2,400 players just on rosters. I think that when you're talking about hockey and you're talking like there's 18 skaters per team, there's only there's only 64 goaltending jobs in the NHL.
Yeah,
and,
that's
and maybe a few extras because of a few teams carrying three. So let's say 70 goalie jobs. Are there not 80 great goalies out there? Like 80 goalies good enough to be in the NHL? Probably. So I don't think that you're diluting too much at this point, because maybe similar to basketball, like there's enough guys out there who could play. It wouldn't dilute the league too much. But still, 36 teams, is that's a lot of teams.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If owners are willing to pay that $1.5 billion, yeah, if you're the NHL, why the frick wouldn't you want that?
At least at that point, you'd have to have 20 teams make the playoffs. You'd have to go 10-10 and have some.
I don't know. I still would probably keep it to 16.
That would
make the regular season that much more competitive.
Got to have a play-in round. It's coming. How old's Gary Bettman? 71? Something like that?
Yeah, he's old already.
70 now? Gary Bettman, he's 1952, so he's 72 years old on June the 2nd. Maybe he's got another three to, let's say he goes Lamoriello. There's 8 years. I guarantee you, whoever the next commissioner is, his first stamp in the league is going to be adding a play-in round. Guarantee it. It's too much money left on the table. And those regular season games that mean absolutely nothing, the last 20 games of the season for some of these teams, even more, suddenly that opens up the possibility of still making the playoffs and going on a run.
Okay.
I think it's a – if you only have four teams in each conference with the play-in game, or like a play-in round, that's a couple games that you're playing against each other. I mean, that's just more money for the league.
It's all about money.
Yep. All right. We have spent some time talking about the Coyotes. We, of course, wish all their players and staff and everybody that is connected to the organization the best of luck as they move to Utah. And we're sorry to their fans, but we also, at the same time, we will soon be welcoming in new fans to the show. I mean, that's really the important thing. Come over to the show. Maybe, you know what? Let's just start today. We are starting the Utah Utes podcast. Overtime Utah. Overtime Hockey Utah. Overtime Utah Talk. I don't know. We'll work that out. But we'll just be the first to market.
I like it.
And we get to talk about this same old Coyotes team that features Nick Bjugstad, Alexander Kerfoot, and Lawson Krause, which they'll all be back next year. They all have contracts into next year. Okay. What we have come here to do officially is the Eastern Conference playoff preview. As the Eastern Conference is set, we know exactly who's going to play who, as opposed to the Western Conference where everything is still muddy. I think there's the only two teams that are a guarantee to play each other are the Winnipeg Jets and the Colorado Avalanche. Everything else is up in the air. The Canucks can jump the Stars. The Kings can jump the Golden Knights. And that essentially throws every other matchup into turmoil. So we'll focus on the Eastern Conference. We'll talk a little bit about the possibilities in the West. And playoffs are going to start Monday. Dude, I can't believe it. Another playoff. Another year without the Red Wings in the playoffs.
You had to go there.
Yeah. I spent a long time watching the Red Wings win multiple Stanley Cups.
Okay, I'll give you that.
My team was missing the playoffs every year. Yeah, in fairness, it took 20 years for my team to win a round, so. Okay, let's jump into the top team in the Eastern Conference. That's the New York Rangers. They're going to take on the backpedaling minus 37 goal differential Washington Capitals. It's only happened, I think, two other times where it's been worse in terms of goal differential. The Hartford Whalers did it and the Vancouver Canucks did it way back in the day, so in the 90s. So it's very much a team that pretty much dominated all year against a team that truly backed their way into a playoff spot and actually made the playoffs because someone pulled their goalie and went, "Here you go. Put it in there.
Here's all the help
you need." I can't wait. 20 years. There's going to be a TikTok video or whatever the social media thing. And people are going to be like, "Did you know that there was a year where this team was tied and they just went, let's pull our goalie and let them score so that the other team made the playoffs?" And they're going to connect all these dots to like bring it back around to why it was necessary. It's going to be the like the crazy guy with the all the little string and the tacks all over the thing. It's coming. But let's talk Rangers and Capitals. Because this one seems like the biggest behemoth versus like truly David and Goliath type of matchup. What are your impressions when you look at this one?
I'll just tell you right now, I mean, the Rangers have been my pick for the last couple of years, and they may be the pick again this year. I'm not going to officially announce that. I don't know if we're making predictions yet, but yeah, we'll leave that till, I don't know, later in the show, whatever you want to do.
Okay.
But initial impressions, right? We've got the bulldozer, the powerhouse that is the New York Rangers, right? They're stacked from top to bottom. We've got Lafreniere just rolling this year, the Shesterkin machine in net. It's going to be a challenge, right? I mean, obviously, from Washington's perspective, right, they lose their top two centers, no Backstrom, no Kuzi this year. Obviously, Kuznetsov with Carolina and Backstrom out for injury purposes. But really, this year for Washington, it wasn't so much about making the playoffs. It was about transitioning younger guys in and really just finding ways to get Ovi some goals, right? That was really, I think, the focus going in for Washington fans.
Well, and going in past the trade deadline, I mean, it was pretty obvious that they were taking a step back. I mean, they traded Mantha, they traded Joel Edmondson, and they traded Kuznetsov, who, in fairness, hadn't played for them all year, but still was a move to go, all right, everybody get out of here. We got to try and maybe make some quick adjustments here on the fly in the offseason, but here we are. They made the playoffs.
Yeah, they bring in young guys, and not to say that they overachieved, but they played well enough. And they, again, we've got a new head coach in here that's kind of installed a defensive type system because they know they're not fast. They know they're not going to outscore you every game like they were 5-6 years ago. And so this team, I mean, look, Charlie Lindgren, he's tied for the league in shutouts for a reason. I mean, they play a very tight defensive system. And I watched that game against the Bruins a couple nights ago where they only had, like, through two periods, 8 shots. I know Boston didn't really show up for that one, but it's clear to me that this team is focused on defense, and the Rangers, man, they're focused on scoring goals, and they can shut you down defensively too. So I'm not overly optimistic if I'm a Capitals fan. I'm just happy to be in right now, if you want to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, you get to watch your team for 4 more games.
Probably.
4, maybe they squeak out one, but based on, I mean, yes, Charlie Lindgren has been really good. I don't know that over the course of a 7-game series that Charlie Lindgren can pull off a Yaroslav Halak kind of, or like a Jaguar kind of playoff series, because that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, Darcy Kuemper back there, right? I mean, he's not a bad goaltender either.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess if they go and they decide to play both of them, that would be an interesting vibe. But I got to think that Charlie Lindgren, I mean, after he started 50 games, I got to think that he's the one who's going to get the nod in game one.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's going to get the nod, but what I'm saying is if they get backed up 3-1, then you're putting in Darcy Kuemper, and he's a guy who could potentially steal a game or two, right? He is that good. He was that good. He wasn't that good this year. But, I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibilities. It wouldn't surprise me if he came out of nowhere and stole a game.
Well, and that's really it, is like, they may have a game where they're able to stifle everything, and it just is so bogged down, and they get the fortunate couple goals, and they win a game. I don't see anything more than that. Rangers are just too good. They've got, I know that Shesterkin hasn't been at his best all year, but I think that he's come around, and I think he's at as good of a spot as you could hope coming into the playoffs for a top-tier goaltender. And, I mean, their power play is clicking. Their defense is far superior outside of John Carlson on the Capitals. And Artemi Panarin has just been unbelievable all year long.
Dude, I'm so bummed he didn't get to 50 goals. But
I know. Sitting at 49. And I hope that same thing doesn't happen to Matthews. But and it's funny because he had 29 the year before. So you just can't seem to get that extra. And isn't it funny that we see it as like a disappointment? Like, if you could have just gotten a 50, bro. But 49, it's 51 is as good as, is like the same as 50. But 49, you might as well have had 6 goals. when you're talking about getting a 50. It's just, it's somehow you're not in the, I mean, yeah, you didn't get 50, but you still got 49 goals.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I'm going to call Rangers in 5 games. I think that's probably a fair assessment of that series. It's just, Capitals are fortunate to be here. They'll get a little extra money for this one.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go 4 games on this one. Four. I think it's a clean sweep.
Okay.
Rangers right. are hungry after losing to the Devils. They want to end it quick. They want to, I mean, they want to prove that they're for real this year, right? You don't want to come in and losing to the Devils in the fashion they did last year. I think they want to show people that we're for real this year.
All right. I just don't know. It is hard to sweep. Sweeps are difficult to do. And I think Washington has that, like, they just stick around and can make the game feel really muddy. And you get a team that maybe game one, they underestimate the Capitals a little bit. The Capitals snag game one and then 4 straight to just junk them out. But yeah, I don't see the Capitals going anywhere. And I honestly, it's not even one of those, here's a scenario where the Capitals could beat the Rangers. Nah, I don't think so. I think this is as done of a deal as you could possibly get. All right, let's stay in the Metro then. Let's go Carolina and the Islanders. This will be the second year in a row, Carolina and NYI. And it didn't go very well for the Islanders in round one last year. Will it be any different here in round one in 2024?
No, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to go much different. Now, I will say I do think the Islanders have a chance to push this a little bit further. I think they could scare Carolina. I could absolutely see that. But to me, I'm looking at a Carolina team now that they have a lot more depth up front than they did last year. So they've got Kuzi at that second line center spot. We've got Jake Guentzel here. They've got all the pieces that I think are going to be far too dangerous for depth-wise for the Islanders to keep up with. Because I think the Islanders, Bo Horvat, Barzal, they're going to go out there and do their thing. And I think Kyle Palmieri and Brock Nelson are going to chip in. But can Varlamov hold off? I mean, I think he's probably going to get the nod. I mean, he's been playing great to finish off the season compared to just to Sorokin. And he used to be Roy's guy in Colorado, too, so for a short time. So I don't know if they'll be able to handle that kind of firepower. I think that Carolina is going to go with up front, and not to mention the fact that they suffocate teams defensively too. Any kind of offense I think that the Islanders have is it's going to be tough and very sparse. I could see the series going 6-7 games, but it all being like 2-1, 1-0 kind of games.
Yeah. And you know, the Islanders, they went to overtime or a shootout. They went to overtime 26 times this year. 26. And they won 10 of those games, lost 16 of them, whether that be in overtime or a shootout. They lost 5 games in a shootout and 11 games in the overtime frame. This team is technically, when you look just pure win-loss, they are 38-43. They are not a good team. Now, all that to be said, 8-1-1 in their last 10. They did pick the best time of year to get hot. They are the hottest team entering into the playoffs at this point at 8-1-1. They just outmatched the Stars, who were 8-2, which they could win here tonight, and that would change up. But 8-1-1, best team in the Eastern Conference going to the playoffs. So maybe you're looking, what have you done for me lately? At the same time, I'm looking at it going, I mean, you only won 38 games. There are 28 games in regulation. That is the least amount out of any team that made the playoffs.
Yeah, so. And here's a stat that I think Carolina is going to eat up too, because we look at special teams, right? Carolina's second in the NHL in power play at 26.9%. Guess who's dead last in the league?
New York Islanders.
At 72.2%. If there's an area that I think Carolina's going to eat them up with, especially like I mentioned with Guentzel and the addition of Kuzi there, it's going to be tough for them on special teams.
Right. Yes. Big exposure there. And that at the same time, the Islanders they're 21st in the league on the power play as well. So yeah, this isn't a team that's played well from the special team standpoint. Really good 5-on-5. They don't take too many penalties, so that, I mean, that's a positive, but I think it's going to be really tough for the Islanders. Because it's a guarantee that Carolina is going to have probably at least one game here where they score a boatload of goals in a game, and the Islanders aren't going to touch that. So that's a win for Carolina. In one of those games that opens up, the Islanders are not going to be able to play with them. And that, to me, is the biggest difference, especially with a healthy Svechnikov and a Jake Guentzel. Carolina is a better team this year than they were last year, and they are clearly hungry. This is a team that's been poised to do big things. It's a team that's won playoff rounds. They've been to the conference finals. I think this team's ready. I think if things go their way, I think this is a win round one. I think if the Carolina Hurricanes win, can beat the Rangers in round two, I think there's a good chance that they beat whoever is in the Atlantic Division and go on to the finals. Like, I think this is a very important year for the Carolina Hurricanes, because I think it's ripe for the taking.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one, just because I think when you look up the matchups, like you talked about in the other division there, it's going to be tough to get out of all of those series, first round, second round. And so there are going to be a lot of dogfights, a lot of hard-hitting games. So, yeah, they're going to come out bruised, whoever gets out of that division, into the conference finals. And so Carolina could take advantage of that pretty easily.
Yep, absolutely. Speaking of that, let's head on over to the – oh, you want to get you want to get a prediction?
Yeah, Carolina. I'm going to go Carolina in six.
In six, okay. Yeah, it's – I mean, Sorokin's going to do something here, whether – or Sorokin or Varlamov, one of the two. I think Varlamov might be the guy who gets the nod in game one, the way he's played down the stretch. But if he falters in any way, much like we talked about the Capitals having Kemper as a potential, hey, we need a little boost. Let's see what happens when we throw you in. I mean, remember what happened with the Florida Panthers. Alex Lyon was their man all year. They started him first two games and things didn't go well. And they went back to Bobrovsky and the rest is history. That team almost won a Stanley Cup because of that. And I would put Sorokin, maybe not in terms of the amount of hardware, because Bobrovsky's been around for a lot longer, but I would put him in the same conversation as a Bobrovsky, where we're talking about him being a top eight goalie in the league. And if he could find himself in the playoffs, it's a new season. If he does need to come in, that's not the worst thing in the world for the Islanders either. Although if he comes in, it means they probably lost a couple games. So that's a tough spot too. Okay, let's go to...
How many games for you, though?
How many games? The Islanders have been scrappy. They're coming in hot. I think they could push this one to six games, but I don't see any further than that. So I'll land same spot as you do. Carolina in six. All right. Florida Panthers are taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I think that it was just – this is a wonderful fit. I think that the Boston Bruins – the way that the Boston Bruins played the last couple of games, you were like, you guys don't look like you want to – like you want to play these? Do you want to play the Leafs in round one? Is that how this is going? They're like, did somebody tell you we're supposed to play the Leafs in round one? Because that's the way it looks. But yes, the Florida Panthers. I mean, as far as travel goes, I don't know if you looked at a map of at all or like thought about how the distance of travel. But because the Panthers and the Lightning are playing each other, it's like everybody that is playing each other in the Eastern Conference is like less than a 2-hour flight or even closer. So yeah, gorgeous. There's some really nice travel for these teams. I mean, Washington to New York is like a 45-minute flight at best. It's only 45 minutes because you have to take off and land. About it. So yes, the Panthers play the Lightning. They'll play each other for now the, I guess they didn't play each other last year as the Leafs beat the Lightning in round one, but they played each other the year prior in 21-22 in the second round, and Tampa Bay beat Florida. And I know that the Florida Panthers have been itching to try and beat this team in the playoffs. Like I got to think that they love that they get to play the Lightning and like truly match themselves up against the other Florida team.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't you, right? I mean, but I got to agree with you, though. If I'm Boston, I'm just looking at it from, again, just a pure matchup perspective. I think you're happier to play the Leafs, I think, than you are the two-time Stanley Cup champs. Yep.
Really? You think the Leafs are an easier out than Tampa right now?
I do. I really do. I think as far as the way they match up, because, again, I think psychologically speaking, we know Boston hasn't lost to Toronto in the playoffs since five, maybe nine. Something like, yeah.
Yeah, 59.
So they got their number there, but then also, I mean, again, the Lightning have won it. They know what it takes to win. They got their rest, and they've been rolling lately these last couple of months here. And the scariest part of all is Vasi looks so dangerous right now in net. He looks like the old Vasi, not like top three goalie Vasi, but he looks good. And that's the one thing I don't want to face in the playoffs is a hot goaltender more than anything else. And so for me, I think, again, do I trust Toronto's goaltending as much as I would Tampa's? No. But, you know, again, that's why I think maybe yeah. But maybe that's why Boston did what they did. Who knows? Or maybe they were just like, you know what, screw it. We're in. Who cares? But when it comes to Florida and Tampa, I think, again, there's just – you want to be the guy, you want to be the king of the castle, right? You want to be the top dog in the state and just say we're better than these guys. And I think Florida psychologically hasn't won a cup yet, so maybe they just don't have that edge mentally yet over Tampa. And maybe beating them right in round one would be enough to help propel them the rest of the way. But personally, I don't think they have anything to prove. We know how good Tampa is or how good Florida is when Barkov and Tkachuk are rolling. Bobrovsky has looked good all year long, so I'm not worried about their goaltending, maybe like I was last year. So for me, really, it's just going to come down to whose bottom six forward group really and depth defensemen are going to outperform the other one, really. And right now, I think I would probably give that edge to Florida.
Florida definitely has the depth. That has been the ongoing story. Or the Lightning, even the year that the Lightning went to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost, that was to the Avalanche. That was kind of this team's not quite as deep. And every year it seems as though someone else has left and they've lost a little more depth each time. It honestly shows you how good they are at the top. Kucherov should be in the heart conversation because imagine where the Lightning are without Nikita Kucherov right now. I highly doubt they're in the playoffs. I would think that they're hovering somewhere around where the Flyers maybe are at. And I mean, I don't know what that means come playoff time, but it is a difficult thing to not have depth and win in the playoffs because teams are so laser focused on your best guys that over the course of seven games, you can shut someone down. And if there's not somebody else to take the reins, it can get away from you really quickly. So I would be worried about that for the Lightning. I guess the silver lining is that they are goaltending wise, they're kind of back. And we've seen where a goalie can steal a series. And if there's a guy who can do it, it's Vasilevsky. Like the Tampa Bay Lightning are truly one of those teams that you just have to say, I can't count them out.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say
Kucherov's supposed to be back too.
And that would be a huge boost. I don't know. Is he supposed to be back for the start of the series?
Yeah, he's skating. He's in a non-contact right now, but they say he should be good to go for round one from what I'm hearing.
Well, that's huge for Tampa. I mean, that changes everything. I mean, that's like getting a top defenseman back. Who doesn't want that? So, yeah, Tampa Bay pulling a Tampa Bay, pulling a Vegas, pulling a Tampa Bay. As anyone who can do it is going to keep these guys unhealthy until the playoffs start, which in Sergachev's case, I think is pretty legit. Not playing Sergachev tonight in this game. I've heard some of the, if a guy's going to come off LTIR for game one of the playoffs, like he should have to play in game 82 of the regular season or something. No, because you wouldn't do that anyways. Right. If anyone's a little bumped up, you're just going, don't play him. If you have the salary cap ability, you shift things around, you call guys up, you rest anybody that needs it.
Yep.
Excuse me. But yeah, I understand why people don't like the LTIR stuff in the playoffs, but it just kind of is what it is. And with Sergachev, it was a pretty legit injury. What scenario needs to happen for the Lightning to beat the Panthers?
Oh, so Vasi's got to be on his game, right? I think that's a number one. If you're going to beat the Panthers, Vasi's got to steal a couple games for you. Now, I know I'm not worried about Tampa's top six. I'm not worried about Hedman. I'm not worried about Cernak or maybe even Sergachev when he comes back. I think you're going to limit his minutes those first few games. But ultimately, I think he's still going to be an effective defenseman, especially Dumba in there, right? Getting a little playoff hockey taste now too. And being a big part of that leadership team and on that back end, I think it's going to be, you know, great to have in the playoffs. But for me, it comes down to Vasi. He's going to have to be 920 or better kind of goaltender in order for them to have a shot at this series for sure.
Oh, yeah. I feel like 920 is like a basic requirement for the playoffs. If you want to win the series, you have to have some pretty spectacular save percentage, unless you're just in an all-out shootout. Yeah, I mean, when you look at the way these two teams played each other, Tampa took the most recent game, but Florida took the previous game. Florida won one of those games 9-2, absolutely wiped the floor with the Lightning. But it's so hard to say, because you catch a team on a back-to-back night, you catch them in the middle of a losing streak. There's not a lot that could, if we were talking about a team back when teams would play each other six times, then you get a pretty good look at how they're going to play against each other. But three times spread throughout the schedule, I don't know that I weigh into that all that much, other than the fact that, of course, these two teams are familiar with each other. They played a couple years ago in the playoffs. The Lightning did beat them. But I would say that this Lightning team is the Lightning light compared to what they once were. And I think the Florida Panthers are able to ultimately win this series. And I'd say we're looking at a six-game series. And I don't really care who's at home, because this is just like a neutral site for both games. That's the way that it feels when these two teams face off.
All right, so you're calling Florida in six, huh?
I'm saying Florida in six, yeah.
All right, I'm calling an upset here and going Tampa in seven.
Wow, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I think they're going to be riding, because we don't know what's happening with Stamkos after this year, right? He hasn't signed that contract, so I think he'll be back, but maybe in the back of his mind, he's already thinking about somewhere else, and so he wants one last ride into the sunset, right?
Yeah. You could also say maybe Tampa Bay's looking at this. Can Stamkos help us win a series anymore? And yeah, if he has a great playoff, it could go a long way to kind of going, all right, yeah, we like almost reminding everybody, like, yeah, this is, he still has it. He's still our guy, and he can help us to win another cup. That's where Tampa Bay thinks different than a lot of teams. A lot of teams would just go, I mean, he's been here forever, so we got to bring him back. But Tampa Bay, can he win us a cup?
And we forget this guy scored 40 goals this year.
Right, right.
So he's going to be effective, but you know, how much? Because when Tkachuk lays the body on him and...
Yeah, but then the other question you have to ask is the Lightning, because of their lack of depth, there is a lot more on some of these guys' shoulders, like Kucherov, like Stamkos, like Hedman. There's just more on their shoulders than maybe a team where you can roll all four lines and you don't have to worry about it the same way. So that is where I think some of this could come into play. I mean, when you look at the ice time, Kucherov playing almost 22 minutes a game, Braden Point's over 20 minutes a game, Stamkos only at 18. That's because he doesn't play PK or anything. And I think my guess is they're trying to limit his minutes a little more because he's a little older. But yeah, that's where you have to ask. Even without the ice time, just the pressure of knowing, like, I'm the guy. There's no one else below us. I need to be the guy that makes the difference here or else. I mean, you go 142 points for Kucherov and 89 for Braden Point, 79 for Stamkos, 76 for Hedman, 73 for Hagel, and then it drops off to 45 to Anthony Cirelli.
Just watch out for Anthony Duclair, though. I'll just say that right now. Okay. A little revenge against the former team.
Hey, there you go. I like it. Yeah, you love those little side stories. Okay. All right. I think we've got one more series, and it is it's the marquee matchup. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care who you are. I don't care what team you cheer for. I don't think that there is a more marquee matchup in the first round than Boston-Toronto. Like two original six teams going at it. It's going to be a great series.
Yeah, I love it. And I'll be honest with you, if I had my choice, Matthews for me would probably be the Hart Trophy winner. Just in my opinion, I think what he does without the puck is much more valuable than I think the other guys we've talked about, like Kucherov, MacKinnon, and McDavid. To me, Matthews has got it all. So he's going to be the guy that obviously everybody's going to be watching, right?
Sure.
But the reason I say that is because to me, this series comes down to the depth at center for the Boston Bruins, or the lack of, right? And how it matches up against Toronto. That's going to be the X factor or the keys to the game, whatever you want to call it, for this entire series, I think, is how these centermen match up and how well guys like Charlie Coyle and Zacha play against Tavares and Matthews.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, advantage Leafs from the center position. From top to bottom, I think this is advantage Leafs. And honestly, almost everywhere else, it's defense is where the Bruins have the advantage, big time on defense. I mean, they are just a better team from the defensive position. And come playoff time, that may be what you look at and you go, that's, to me, that's more important, is the defensive position. And that I think is what probably worries the Leafs the most, is are we actually going to be able to create the offense that we need to create? Because with McAvoy and Lindholm and Brandon Carlo, Grizzlick, like, their top four is far better than the Leafs. But I think with Joel Edmondson getting healthy, that's a huge boost for the Leafs defense. And just overall, the vibe that the Leafs have had once they brought in Labushkin, they brought in Edmondson, and they've been playing a little bit more of a tough brand of hockey. They haven't been pushed over. I mean, not this last game that they played yesterday against the Panthers, but the one before it, that I would say meant more. Like, second to last game of the season where it means nothing, and other than getting Matthews his 70th goal, like, that was, that whole game was just like, let's feed him. Let's see if he can get it, and he couldn't get it. And I think the Panthers really wanted to play the Lightning. So I think that was their incentive. But the game that mattered, which was played a few weeks ago, the Leafs physically dominated the Panthers, which is something I did not think that I would ever say this year. And I think that is going to be the key to their success. Can they be the team? Can they be a bigger asshole than Brad Marchand as a team?
Yeah, and I think that's where Bertuzzi and Domi are coming in. That's why they brought him in.
Yep. And they need to be those guys. Absolutely need to be those guys in order for them to win. And we can't have any controversy in net for the Leafs. And that's the biggest thing for them. I would say the Bruins are obviously solid in net. The only controversy is maybe who's going to be back next year. Will Linus Ullmark be back? But I think whichever guy they decide to go with, or they switch around, because that's what they've done, I think that it'll be fine. It'll be fun to see James Van Riemsdyk against the Leafs in the playoffs, because that's
the name you haven't heard in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Former Leaf there. But I honestly, you still, when you look at this team on paper, you look at the Bruins on paper, you go, I mean, they don't, other than, of course, Pasternak is just, I mean, he's probably in that 5-6 kind of area for Hart Trophy voting, I think is where he'll come out.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the top 8. Like, he's been fantastic and everything's running through him. Brad Marchand is pretty much a picture of consistency. He's been good all year. He is who he is. We know who he is. And come playoff time, we know exactly who he's going to be. But outside that top line, you look at it and you go, what is there to be afraid of? Really nothing. And that's where, if Toronto is going to win this series, they're going to have to win that battle. Like, Matthews, Pasternak, they're going to get their goals, or they're going to get their points. It's going to be everyone else. What's going to happen? Nylander's been pretty damn good in the playoffs. He's probably been their best point producer in the playoffs in the last 5 years.
Yep.
He shows up. You get it. I think ultimately, if everyone shows up here for the Leafs, they absolutely have the depth to beat the Bruins.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think for me, again, I go back to Domi and Bertuzzi. I think they need to be the X factors in the series, because you don't bring in a guy like that, especially both of these guys on one-year deals, because they're out there, they want to prove, right? I deserve that long-term contract. I'm a big game guy, right? Bertuzzi maybe had a slow start with Toronto, but he's lit it up in the last half of the season. Yeah. So for me, I don't think he's going to be that guy that he was in Boston as far as point production, but I don't need that, right? You've got other guys on this team that can go out there and put up the points. For me, I want Bertuzzi to just be a rat. I want him to just be in the face of Brad Marchand all the time and just really just take their game back to them.
100%. And you look at, like, can Matthews continue to score at this clip, like, in the playoffs? Is he going to go in a seven-game series? Is he going to score six times? Because that's basically what he's done. And I don't know that you can – that you're going to get that in the playoffs. I mean, it's – even scoring five goals in a playoff round is unbelievable, which Matthews did it last – he did it once. Matthews did it in 18-19, which I believe was against the Bruins. Or was that against Tampa? 18-19. I have to remember.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Probably Bruins.
Yeah, I would think it was the Bruins. But yeah, so let's find out. Toronto, yep, it was the Bruins. Lost in seven. But Matthews had five goals in that playoffs, which five goals in a round is crazy. In 21-22, when the Leafs lost to Tampa Bay, he had 9 points, four goals in seven games. He's been fantastic. I mean, he had 11 points in 11 games last year. I mean, like I said, they're going to get their points. You're not going to shut him down, but can he score goals, which are the premium? Can he make that happen? And I think, yes, Bertuzzi, Domi, important pieces, but you got to go down the lineup. You need guys like Kampf and Dewar, guys that are deep into your lineup that you go, that guy didn't put up big points during the year. Can Nick Robertson score a big goal in the playoffs? And really all you're asking is they score like a goal. It sometimes does make that big of a difference when your fourth line scores one goal or two goals in a series. That could be the series right there. Because that can be the difference of winning a game or not. And that has been really the Leafs' issue all year. But also, it's been the Bruins' issue all year. Are they going to get anything outside of what their top line can produce? So, yeah,
it'll be fun. Now, who are you starting if you're Toronto?
I think that Samsonov won you a playoff series last year. I think you got to go to him. I don't think that Wall has... He played really well earlier in the season. I don't think that he's been good enough down the stretch here. He was good, but also in those wins, his team put up five goals in both games. In all the other games, it was the other team kind of blowing them out. So I look at that and I go, I don't know that you can trust him yet with the playoff series. A game one start. Samsonov has been there. He started in game one, not just for the Leafs, also for the Capitals. This is a guy who knows what the pressure feels like, and he can handle it.
Yep. Yeah, I've liked his game better since he's come up and had that mental reset, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. He's looked a lot better than. Yep.
And that's, I mean, yeah, you can't, I mean, he's what? He won his last three games of the regular season. He's lost the last two, but he won three in a row there. He lost to New Jersey and lost to Detroit.
But he's been good though.
Yeah,
he's been good.
He's been good. And he's, even when he has let in goals, he's at least kept them around. I mean, some games you're just going to let in five goals, but can you not let in the sixth goal? Can you not let it rattle you enough to maybe give your team the chance to score six before the other one does? So I think this is going to be a six or seven gamer, no doubt. It's going to be a tough matchup, but I think that the Leafs have the ability to score that the Bruins don't, and I think that's going to come into play here. And ultimately, the Leafs win this one in six in Toronto.
Six in Toronto. Okay. Huh. Yeah, for me, I'm with you. I think the Leafs will pull this series out and finally put the Bruin demon behind them. Similar to Washington and in Pittsburgh, I think they're finally going to get that playoff series win against their nemesis here. But for me, it really comes down to that center depth and or lack thereof for Boston. I know they're going to have to play a tough defensive game and keep this low scoring, but I don't know if they have enough depth-wise at the forward position to really shut down the high-caliber offense that the Leafs have. And so for me, I'm going even sooner. I think they're going to wrap this one up in five.
Five games.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that the Bruins are too good. They're too deep. They'll manage to win. Although one thing, the Leafs have been fantastic on the road, which the Bruins have been good at home and on the road, but the Leafs have 24 and 10 on. So that's just something to consider, something to kind of go, how much is the home ice going to matter in this series?
Leafs have to put a stamp on this one. In my opinion, they've got to come out and just really lay down the hammer
in game one. Yeah.
Yes.
Or like just get a big win in game one. I mean, it could be an overtime, but yeah, getting that first win, winning back home ice, I think we'll just do something for the psyche of that team. And after beating Tampa last year and doing it in like pretty convincing fashion where they didn't roll over, they didn't lose that game six to force the seventh game, I think they learned a lot about how they need to play when the other team's back is up against the wall.
Yeah, and I don't want to say Sheldon Keefe's job depends on it, but
Sheldon Keefe's job.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'd say, yeah, how could you? If they were to go in and lose, how could you bring him back? You couldn't. You couldn't bring him back.
No.
And I might go as far to say that, okay, let's say you get into round two and you play the Panthers again. You need to, if you lose, it's probably got to be in like in seven games in overtime kind of thing, like where it's just a total coin flip.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can slide backwards. Like you can't go into that and also get dominated again by the Panthers in round two. There's got to be some movement forward. I mean, you've got one of the best players of his generation. You got to be able to use him in the playoffs properly. And I will say the construction of this team, there's definite holes. Like they get to the conference finals against Carolina, I'm probably putting my money on Carolina unless there's some big injuries. I'm probably putting my money on the New York Rangers too, because I just think there's fewer holes there. But if you can get past the Panthers, I mean, that's probably going to be the big one in this division. And I think that's probably as far as anyone is going in this division. I don't know that they're going to beat the Metro. I think the Metro is probably the representative in the finals.
Ooh, okay.
But we'll give maybe some Stanley Cup predictions once we know the West and what's going to happen over there, which it's such a mess. I mean, we do know that Colorado is going to play the Winnipeg Jets, and the Winnipeg Jets have won seven in a row to almost close out the year. They've got one more game, but after struggling for a little while, they've managed to kind of pull things together. How do you feel about that series? Colorado, Winnipeg.
I'm excited for this one just because I think for me, Winnipeg is just such an interesting story this year, considering when you looked at they could potentially lose Scheifele and Hellebuyck and all the pieces like PLD's gone. There was this potential of a team essentially almost having to like face the mirror and say, do we need to restart? Do we need to retool and just start selling off pieces? But then they get these guys re-signed and now they bring in Sean Monahan in the middle of the season. And he brings a boost to that second line center position, I think, that they were lacking at the beginning of the year. And I'm just excited to see this team perform. And I think it's going to be a very good test for them in Colorado, who I think, to me, I'm just not sold on as far as when you're talking about depth, right? We know McKinnon, we know Rantanen, those guys are going to be great. But look, Gorgiev has not played very well this year. I mean, he leads the league and wins just because he's being played a lot and his team is good in front of him. But I don't know if I trust him in the playoffs, right? His numbers are kind of shaky and I'm not sure if he could steal you a game or two right now. If you get into a shootout battle with a team like Winnipeg, who has a high powered offense and is playing, I can't remember what it was, but it was some 20 some games in a row where Winnipeg was letting in three or less goals a game. They're stingy defensively too. So not only can they shoot and put the puck in the back of the net, but they can shut you down defensively, which when you have a goaltender like Hellebuyck is going to be it's going to be tricky.
Yeah. Connor Hellebuyck has 32 goals saved above expected. The next highest is Thatcher Demko with 21. No, he's about 30% better in terms of goal saved above expected than the next guy, which is crazy. Yeah, I said that the Leafs and the Bruins was the marquee matchup, which I absolutely think is true. I think the most people will watch that game. It's the East Coast game. It's the East time zone game to watch. I think maybe the best series of the first round might be Winnipeg, Colorado.
Ooh.
There's some beauties in the, like, some potentials. If it's Vegas, Edmonton in round one, that's just ridiculous. I feel bad for Edmonton. That's got to be their first round matchup, is with the Stanley Cup champions. And, I mean, even, yeah, I think those are the possibilities. Or it's maybe LA jumps, and suddenly the Dallas Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights have to face off in the first round. That's a possibility, too, which nobody, I'm sure the Stars are like, please don't do that to us. Go and win your last game. But I think this Winnipeg-Colorado series is going to be a beauty. It's going to be intense. There's going to be so much speed, a lot of physicality, and it's going to be fun to see if Connor Hellebuck can push the Avalanche out and win this series. No doubt about it. This series is about Connor Hellebuck. Everything else aside, there's good players on both sides. There's a lot of depth at most positions, not necessarily the center position is, Casey Middlestat coming in and helped to kind of secure that for the Avalanche. But there's good players all throughout the lineup on both those teams. But nobody has a Connor Hellebuck. Nobody in the league. So I want to see how far he can take this Jets team.
Yeah, and he's only ever played more than 8 games once in the playoffs.
Right. Yep, only went to the...
Now's the time.
Only went to the second round that one time. Yep. Yes, it'll be... That'll be a fantastic series. The rest of them are not determined. The Canucks, I guess we should give our predictions on that one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jets Avalanche.
Avalanche?
Jets Avalanche. I said Jets were.
Oh, Avalanche. I'm sorry. I thought you said I picked the Avalanche.
Honestly, the Avalanche, it's tough to pick against them for me. But the Jets have been so good. But the Avalanche are just so dang good at home. They're only going to get 3 possible games at home. I haven't thought about this one that much yet because I was so focused on the Eastern Conference, but I'm going to let you go first and I'm going to think a little deeper about it. Who do you think is going to take this series?
Okay. For me, I'm taking Winnipeg. When you look at the lineups, obviously we know about the top dogs in Colorado, but I think when you get into the nitty gritty, when it starts being a little bit more of a grind, when you get into games 4, 5, and 6, right? Where you're getting in those tougher matchups where you might only put up a 2 spot against Connor Hellebuck. Do you have enough depth offensively to keep up with Winnipeg, right? I mean, we know what Winnipeg has. Adam Lowry is fantastic on that third line center spot. They've got Alex Iafallo on the fourth line. And obviously we know their top 6 is phenomenal with Tyler Toffoli's fit in there like a glove as well with Sean Monahan. To me, it's got to be Winnipeg. I just don't think Colorado has enough offensive depth to really keep up with this team. Now, Cale Makar is going to make up for a lot of that, right? But I think Brendan Dillon, Neil Pionk, these guys have been so good defensively. Logan Stanley, their bottom 4 have been so good defensively. I think that you're going to look at a team like Colorado and maybe say, man, maybe we should have held on to Bowen, Byram.
But they needed that. They needed that.
No, I absolutely agree with you. But, center position. Was Casey Middlestat the answer? I don't know. And so here's the time to prove it, right? Here's the time to get my money to prove that I was worth that trade because Hellebuck's going to steal a game or two, I think, from this Colorado team, whether he has to or not. He's just going to take it on his own. So for me, I think Winnipeg's ending this one in 6 games.
Okay. I was wondering about Landeskog, but apparently he's not close to coming back. My guess is that maybe he could come back for the conference finals or the Stanley Cup finals or something like that, which at that point, do you want somebody coming back for that? Or do you just
Look at what Stamkos did in the Stanley Cup finals, 1 minute shift, scores a goal and they win.
That's true. But he had played in the playoffs.
I don't care.
But he had played in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But still.
I'll say this. I think the one thing that Colorado has that Winnipeg does not is Nathan MacKinnon. And I think Nathan MacKinnon's probably winning MVP of the league this year.
Yes,
he's been phenomenal. Everything runs through him and they've got other superstars to back him up to and Rantanen and Makar. The one thing they have on him, they've won. Winnipeg's just has never won. And there isn't really a guy on that team where you go, oh yeah, he's not only is he a difference maker, but he's won. Like, there really isn't that guy anywhere in that lineup. And I think that's the reason I got to go Colorado. I think that Colorado is going to find a way to do this. And I think it'll take them 7 games, but I think they'll get to, they'll make it happen. 7 games.
That's fair. I could definitely see the series going 7 games. I think, again, like you mentioned, McKinnon could steal a game just as easily as Hellebuck can steal a game.
It's true.
So
it's very true. But I do like Winnipeg's depth. And to be honest, I think I'll probably be rooting for Winnipeg in this. Like, Winnipeg might be the team I root for the hardest in the Western Conference because of where they were. Like, them and Vancouver both. Some of the factor of, I just want to see a dang Canadian team have a shot at the Cup. Like, I think it's as good for the game if a freaking Canadian team has a shot at the Cup at some point. That, but just like both those teams, where they were last year compared to where they sit now, is an unbelievable story for both franchises. And yep. I think that it would be a really fun thing to maybe eventually see those two teams play in the conference finals. Ooh. Possibility. It's a possibility. There is a decent chance that one Canadian team's in the conference finals in the Western Conference. In the East, it's going to be tough. Only one shot. 1 out of 7. But we'll get out of here and we'll early next week. I know playoffs are supposed to start Monday, but we'll do some more Western Conference preview things as we find out what's going on. And when Utah officially announces all their things, we'll look forward to that. We'll talk about that. Until then, enjoy the final games of the regular season. Matthews for 70. Can we do it?
I think so.
All right.
All He's right. doing I'll it. Like-
All right, this has been Overtime Hockey Talk. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at OT Hockey Talk. And we'll enjoy the rest of the regular season. We'll talk to you for playoffs.